The options are, I could tell a Krishna story, or I could ask people questions. Ask me any, we can go around the room. We could do, everybody could share their feelings and realizations about Krishna, or they could ask questions. If I had my guitar, then I would sing songs and do a concert, but I don't have a guitar. So, what would you like? It's your house.
I'm just a servant here, so I usually like to please everybody. So maybe it would be just good to ask everybody what they like, put their hands up. Some people were interested in, you know, some Krishna katha, that's typical, or some of our philosophy.
Okay, let's do. Who wants me to tell a story about Krishna? Well, I guess that wins out. All right. And we can also, who likes the idea of asking questions? Okay, we can do that too. And our time frame is?
Between half hour and 40 minutes.
That's more than enough. Okay, so let's set the atmosphere. Everybody repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Trinadapi Sunichena Torat Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Iva Kevalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. All right, do we want Krishna Leela, Mathura Leela, or Dwarka Leela? Okay, who wants to hear about Krishna in Vrindavan? And who wants to hear Krishna in Mathura? Dwarka. All right, looks like the Vrindavanites win out. Maybe I can do both. All right, so I would like to, yes, okay. So let's take you back 5,000 years. We're back 5,000 years. I'm closing my eyes so that I can envision, not that I'm not, don't want to see you, but I want to envision the story. So 5,000 years ago, Krishna, with his cowherd boys. At this time, Krishna's around 7 years old. And the cowherd boys say to Krishna, we're hungry. So Krishna says, okay, right nearby where we are, there are some brahmanas, and they're performing a sacrifice. So if you go to those brahmins, and you ask them for some charity, some food, maybe they will give you. And then Krishna told them, but don't mention my name, because I come from a cowherd community and they may consider me low class. So mention Balaram, because he's from the Kshatriya race, because his father Vasudev, he is a Kshatriya, so mention his name. So the cowherd boys, they do whatever Krishna asks them. There's no reservation with the cowherd boys. They love Krishna. He's one of them. And they have already had an experience, so many experiences with Krishna. So they have complete trust in Krishna. So the cowherd boys go to these brahmanas, and you can just picture the brahmanas. If you've been to India, or you've been to a temple when they're doing a yajna, it's all very official. All these different items, and there's the fire pit, and the brahman is there, and usually there's others, and it's very serious. It's real think something really going on here. So the cowherd boys approach the brahmanas and they say, we are hungry and we know that at this point in the sacrifice, it's okay for us to beg charity. So we're hungry. Can you please give us some food? Now these brahmanas, the sacrifice they're doing is a materialistic sacrifice. They're doing this sacrifice so that when they die, they will go to the heavenly planets and they will enjoy in heaven and they will enjoy opulent sense gratification for many, many, many years. So it's a materialistic, fruitive sacrifice. And the Brahmins are very disturbed. And they tell the cowherd boys, no, don't bother us now. Can't you see we're busy? We have to do this sacrifice. Don't bother us. Go away. So the cowherd boys go back to Krishna. And they say to Krishna, we did what you said, but they didn't give us anything. And Krishna said, well, that's the way of begging. You can't expect when you go begging that everyone is going to give. Sometimes people will give. Sometimes people don't give. Anyone who has done book distribution, they know that. Some people, the person you approach, you think certainly they'll take a book. And they go, no, I don't want that book. And then you go to somebody and you think this is the last person who wants the book. They're the one who takes the book. So that's the way it is. I have a friend in L.A., Bhrigu Padidas. Sometimes he goes out and he's on fire and he's distributing books and everyone's taking a book, everyone's giving a donation. He comes back home to the temple and he's like, just see, look at my score today. Then the very next day he goes out, he can't sell one book and he wants to pull a sheikah out because that's the way it is. Sometimes you're successful. Sometimes you're not. So Krishna then told the cowherd boys, okay, these Brahmins, they're not my devotees, as was said. They were doing a materialistic sacrifice. But Krishna said, now you go to the wives of those Brahmins, and I'm sure they will give you food because they are my pure devotees. Now, someone may say, how does Krishna know that? He knows that because Krishna is in every one of our hearts. And Krishna knows what we're thinking, feeling, willing. Krishna knows exactly. And it's the same Krishna in every one of us. Not that my Krishna is different than your Krishna and they're competing. It's the same Krishna in everyone's heart. So the cowherd boys, they go to the wives of the Brahmins. And this time, they mention Krishna's name. They say, we are friends of Krishna, and he has sent us. And as soon as the wives heard the name Krishna, immediately they gathered all this food. But they didn't give it to the cowherd boys. They wanted to personally bring it to Krishna. Why? Because Krishna said, they are my pure devotees. And that's the symptom of a pure devotee. A pure devotee is somebody who wants to serve Krishna, wants to love him, wants to be with him. Anyone, like I was raised in the Catholic religion, and if there's one thing I still remember to this day, is when the Roman centurion asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, to love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I always liked that, and that's exactly what is Krishna consciousness. Loving God with everything you have. So these wives, spontaneously, as soon as they heard Krishna's name, They gathered all their best food that they were preparing for the sacrifice. They prepared their best food, put it in baskets, and they all came to where Krishna and Balaram were standing. And they offered their food. And Krishna thanked them. But then Krishna told these wives, now you should go back. Your husbands need you. You should not tally. You should go. And the wives said, what are you talking about? We know exactly who you are. And we know your philosophy. We know that if anyone surrenders to you, you accept them. You give them shelter. We don't want to go back home to our husbands. Now that we've seen you, we don't want to go anywhere. We just want to stay here. We are fully surrendered. And Krishna again said, no. You have to go back. It's not right. Your husbands need you. But the wives, they didn't want to go. They were ready to stop everything, surrender fully. And they expected Krishna to accept them because they knew the philosophy. Even though they were only the wives of the Brahmins, they knew actually better than their husbands. They knew better. But Krishna convinced them, no, your husbands need you. Your children need you. You go back. So devotees, pure devotees, they're obedient to Krishna. Because obedience is the first law of love. Before I can say I love God or I love anyone, I must be obedient. That if my lover asks me or requests something, I should do it. So the wives went back to their husbands. By this time, the husbands started to recollect and they realized we actually made a big mistake. And they started to condemn themselves, the husbands, the Brahmins. They said, look at us. Our wives spontaneously went to see Krishna and Balaram. That means they are more advanced than us. So those Brahmins, they then realized their wives were of a higher spiritual platform than they were. And they condemned themselves. And they said, we should also surrender to Krishna like our wives. But then, what did they think? They thought, wait a second. What if Kamsa finds out? There may be a problem. We may get in trouble. So still after this, the Brahmins still couldn't surrender to Krishna like their wives did. So this incident with Krishna, the Brahmins, cowherd boys, and the wives illustrates that it doesn't matter what is your position in life. Love of God, Krishna consciousness, has nothing to do with your social position. Krishna consciousness has nothing to do with any material law. Krishna consciousness is dependent. It's an affair of the heart. It's between you and Krishna. So we should always remember that nothing can check our advancement. The only thing that can check my advancement is my own self, like those Brahmins. I'll tell you a story that in the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada would have the devotees go out for hours, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, chanting on the streets. When did you join? 74. All right, you joined like me in the book distribution era. But before our era, 67 to 72, like that, The main thing is when you joined the temple, you went out for 8 to 10 hours chanting on the street. You had your lunch there. You were just all day, and you were chanting and dancing. So there was this one devotee, Madhuvisa, and Prabhupada sent him to Australia. So he was very keen on fulfilling this instruction of chanting. So he was in charge. So they were in Australia chanting, and they got arrested. The whole bunch of devotees, they put them in jail. And it appears they were in jail for some time, because he wrote Prabhupada a letter in jail. And he wrote to Prabhupada saying, "Prabhupada, you told us to go out chanting. Now we're in jail. What are you supposed to do now?" And what did Prabhupada write back? "What are you worried about? Chant in the jail." So they did that. And as soon as they started to chant in the jail people said, okay, we'll let you go. Just stop this noise. So they followed Prabhupada's instructions and they got out of jail. And I have another story that I know personally I experienced. I was in that city in Indiana where Notre Dame, I think it's called South Bend, Indiana. So I was with this one devotee, and he was a very, very eccentric devotee. He was from a Jewish family, and he was like I am now, kind of roly-poly. And when he joined the temple in Miami, and when he joined the temple, he always had a tambourine in the kirtan, and he would always be like this, and he would chant like it was like he would totally get into it, and he would twist his head like this. So the devotees gave him a nickname, Tambourine Man. Then he got initiated, and then after some years, he was with where I was. So I was in the Midwest, was just me and him, and I dropped him off at the Kmart to distribute books, and I went to a different area. So we had agreed that by 9 o'clock I would come by in the van and pick him up, and we would take rest for the night. So I drive to the Kmart and I do one lap and I go, "Where is he?" And I'm looking, and after like 3 or 4, I said, "He can only be one place." So I asked somebody, "Where is the police station?" And they told me where to go. So I parked the car, and there's the sergeant at the front desk. And I said, "Officer, did you arrest? Hey, we've had enough of you. Ever since we picked your friend up, the guy hasn't stopped chanting." Because this is how he used to chant japa. This is exactly, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. So from the moment they arrested him, that's all he was doing out loud. Hare Krishna, Hare. They said, "Look, we're not going to press charges. Just take your friend and don't come back." I said, "Yes, officer, no problem." So chanting delivered him. And my first experience with chanting also, my very first experience, I had joined the temple maybe a week, 2 weeks, and I went with another devotee. We were going on the subways. We had our little buckets and we had magazines, and we were supposed to go on the trains and try to sell magazines. All of a sudden, we get to 34th Street, Penn Station. All of a sudden, in my back, I feel something very sharp, like a gun or a knife. And this young black kid says, "Give me your money." So I'm scared. This is my first time on Sankirtan. So I turned to the other devotee was senior to me. And I said, "What do I do now?" And he says, "Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare," and the guy ran away. And I said to him, wow, this mantra really works. It's unbelievable. Because maybe a year earlier, I remember before I was a devotee, maybe it was 2 years, I was coming out of a subway with my guitar and some black kid, you know, threatened me. So he wanted money. And so I gave him all my money. I said, don't take the guitar, I need it. So I had to give him my money. But I didn't know Janu Hare Krishna would have saved me then, but it sure saved me that day. So from that day, whenever I'm in trouble, Hare Krishna! And so far, I'm 64 years old. So far, it's worked. Hari Bol. So, does anybody have a question or a comment or anything they want to share? You have a question. On anything. Anything. Oh, wait. My good friend, Bhakta Stefan.
I unfortunately wasn't able to come on time for the program. I apologize. But what was the program? What was one of the topics that you spoke about?
I told the story of Krishna and Balaram sending the cowherd boys out begging for food. And how the Brahmins didn't give, but the wives spontaneously gave to Krishna. I told that story from Krishna book. Yes?
Was it because the Brahmins were puffed up?
Well, they were not pure devotees. Their wives were pure devotees. They were Brahmins, so they're pious. But they were not devotees. Because to be a devotee is a gift. Like I know, you know, perhaps hundreds and hundreds of people. They're very, very religious, very, very pious, but they cannot accept Krishna. So even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, after many, many births and deaths, one finally comes to that conclusion, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, and surrenders. So I am assuming that you're here. You all have come to that point in your evolution that you have accepted Krishna as the Supreme. And if that's the case, you should cherish that because that is a rare gift. Not everybody has that gift. And you've earned that gift by your evolution, perhaps millions of lifetimes. So for me, something that I preach about is that whatever you do, don't lose that gift that you understand and cherish that Krishna is supreme and that he's in your heart and that he is the most lovable object. Because you could lose it. It's possible to lose that by offenses. And so that's why we should be very, very careful about offenses. But that is, and what I'm saying is also confirmed by Lord Chaitanya, because there's a question that's sometimes asked. How does somebody know that they've received the mercy of God? Now you could ask some people, well, I have the mercy of God because I'm successful in life. LeBron James has the mercy of God because he's the number one basketball. And Peyton Manning has the mercy of God. Or, I hate to say it, Donald Trump, but he doesn't believe in God. You know what Donald Trump once said? He said, if there's a God, I'm screwed. Because he knows he's been a rascal. So, Lord Chaitanya was asked this question, how does somebody actually know that they've received God's mercy. And Lord Chaitanya's answer was, knowledge of God is the proof that you have God's mercy. When you actually have knowledge of God, Lord Chaitanya says, now you know you have God's mercy. Because all this other stuff, material acquisitions and success, they're temporary. Like I've said a billion times in lectures, Bill Gates, when he has to die, what can he take with him? Not even one microchip. Nothing. He has to leave it all behind. But what we do take with us in our next life is our consciousness and the reactions of all our good and bad activities. But once you have knowledge of Krishna, that is so powerful and so special. And even in the Bhagavad Gita, it says it's rare. Sa mahatma sudurlaba. Not just rare, very rare. And the other verse in Bhagavad Gita, out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for spiritual perfection. Endeavor. And of those who have achieved spiritual perfection, maybe you'll find one who understands Krishna. So you should, I consider myself, and you should consider yourself the most fortunate person on the planet. Like you said, you're going to Vrindavan. This is going to be your first time. I bless you. Because have you ever been to India before? Oh, okay. So you know, I remember the first time I went to India was like, oh my God, I'm in another world. It was 1975, I was 25 years old, and they landed in Delhi, and as soon as they opened the door of the airplane, this heat wave was like, whoa, welcome to India. Wow. I mean, to me, back then, 75, India was like this mystical, magical land. I think I was back in time 100 years. Now, of course, things have changed. When was the first time you went? 77. It was still pretty, like, Vrindavan was really quaint, so to speak. I remember last time I was in Vrindavan was 76, and then I went in 88, and I went, what happened to Vrindavan? All this big construction, it lost its quaint little charm. It was like, oh my God. And I can't even imagine what it's like now. Right? Times of, anyway. May all your desires be fulfilled in Vrindavan. I will tell you a story about me. Okay. When I went in 88, I was very, very unhappy in my life. So I prayed to Krishna in Vrindavan. I said, Krishna, here I am. I've spent all this money. Why can't I have this where I live? So I prayed to Krishna, I want this feeling where I am. So that was 88, and Krishna gave it to me in 94. Not bad, 6 years, and I still have that. So pray to Krishna in Vrindavan. Pray to Krishna, and be careful what you pray for. Be careful. Questions? Yes. Okay, yes. Yes.
And I know there's different offenses and so on, but I kind of sort of forgot about that, because sometimes you don't think about it much. But just based on your practical experience,
Okay, personally, and from what I have seen in all this 41 years of being a devotee, I would say, number one, whatever you do, do not commit guru aparad. Are you a Prabhupada disciple? Who is your spiritual master? Ridwan. Okay. So whatever you do, don't commit guru aparad, because that's like one of the big ones. And then number two, I struggle with it, and I'm sure a lot of devotees struggle, inattentive chanting. Because inattentive chanting is where all the other offenses come from. Inattentive chanting. And it's hard. Chanting attentively is, practically speaking, the hardest thing. I've given the example that kirtan is easy because you've got so much other things supporting you. It's easy to get into kirtan, but japa, that's you and Krishna. And it has to come from you. And so that's the, think about it. We don't take vows to do kirtan. That's not one of the vows. The vows are the four regulative principles, and they're hard. And the vow is 16 rounds. So we take a vow because it's not easy to concentrate on simply chanting. And the mind is so powerful and stubborn. Hare Krishna, you've got to constantly bring it back. It's hard work. It's really hard work. But if it's done, that's where you really make your advancement, is by that. Try this, like Prabhupada used to say, try to chant. That's all. Just try. Is that all right? Mr. Bhakta Steve.
This sounds kind of like a silly question, but I've always wondered.
No question about spiritual life is silly.
So I understand that Sri Prabhupada, they don't take any offense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now, I'm in the temple room, and Gauri Thai, or maybe like to the left, and Radha Govinda in the middle, that mean, like, when I'm walking in front of those particular deities, I have to be very careful, but when I walk in front of Gauri Thai, okay, I'm safe. Like, I'm in front of Gauri Thai. Or how does it work?
The mentality of a real devotee is that he doesn't want to be offensive at any point. So it's not that, it's Gauri Thai, it's okay. No, that's not a healthy mentality. But knowing that, at least they don't take any offense because at least you're chanting. But the mentality is, I don't want to commit an offense at any time, whether it be Gauri Thai or whatever. That has to be the mentality is always trying. When does Maya come? Maya comes when I stop trying. Like, we had a nice discussion today at lunch, right? So for anybody, yes, Maya's gonna try, and she only can be successful if I give up trying. But as long as I'm trying, there's a chance. Like, I deal with many people on all different levels, right? So I have lots of, you could say, students. And, like, I have one student in particular. I'm just asking him, just do one round. And even for that person, it's so difficult just to do one round, what to speak of 16. All right? But this is what I tell them. I said, as long as you're chanting, then you have a chance to knock out Maya. Mama said knock you out. So as long as you're trying to chant, you have a chance. But if you, so that's, that answers another question. Sometimes the question is asked, how do I know if my chanting is offensive? And my answer is, as long as you're chanting, then you're not that offensive. Or the other question is, how humble do I have to be, Prabhu? And the answer is, you have to be as humble as necessary that you chant. And I'm talking japa. Because we have seen, and I have seen, getting into kirtan, that's easy. And I'm not taking anything away from it. But this is what determines who is the real, you know, who's actually going to make spiritual, because this is the hardest thing every day, because you're like dealing with your, what is japa? You're dealing with your mind and you're dealing with your desires. You're like, it's you and Krishna. And it's like, it's a session. To me, japa is a session, like going to a psychiatrist. You know, it's a session. Okay, what? Because when I chant japa, it's like, oh, oh, Krishna is reminding me. Remember this? Remember that? And you did this? And you did that? And it's like, oh, 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 I'm sorry. Oh. So japa is an intense thing. It's really intense. But if you do it, you can feel the energy. You can just feel it. You know, like I said so many times, that first Hare Krishna is the hardest. Krishna. All right? First round, you know, for me, maybe it's 20 minutes. But after the second, third, fourth, by the eighth, you know, I'm cooking, you know, it's, you know, so at the end of 16, Haribo! But getting started, that's the hard part, just starting, getting that. Yes, Prabhu?
Congregational chanting is the yuga dharma, is the process for the sage. So why so much emphasis on the japa?
Because kirtan, practically speaking, you're not going to do it, especially in the West. How often can you have congregational chanting? Whereas this is always available. And again, this is where you surrender. This is, you're dealing with your anarthas, you're dealing with all your stuff, and you're making advancement.
Why is so much easier?
Because you have all this support. You've got the instruments, you've got others, and it's music. So it's easier. It's more easier to get caught up in it, especially if it's a good kirtan. Right, then it's easier for you to get into it, okay? Whereas this, it's not easy. It's not easy. And the other answer is, why is this, if the Yuga Dharma is kirtan, yes, we try to do that as much as possible, but Lord Chaitanya chanted, and the disciplic succession afterwards. It's not that this is something created. This is coming down from Lord Chaitanya also chanted. Like there's that place in Jagannath Puri where it has Lord Chaitanya's beads, the Gambir. That's one of the few places I was allowed to go into. They haven't changed Jagannath Puri, right? They still don't let... Somebody was trying to tell me the other day, some Indian guy was trying, no, it's different now. I said, I mean, he was convinced, and I kept saying, no, it's not, so.
They have armed guards
Yeah, they have. I knew they didn't change because it would have been big news. It would have been all over the. It'd be like a major breakthrough. I knew you had a question.
So can I switch the topic a little bit?
As long as it's about Krishna.
Okay. I had a question kind of about tests that have come our way in Krishna consciousness. And interesting that the wives of the Brahmanas, they said, go back to your husbands. And then they said, well, no, we know your philosophy. You know that we're surrendered to you, so we don't have to. But then they realized they had to obey Krishna, and they went back. So for us, there's some level where Krishna is testing us, I guess.
Always.
Because he might have said, go back to the Brahmins, but he really wants them to say, well, no, we want to stay with you.
Well, I can't. Was that their test? I don't know. It may be. But I will say this. Your whole life is a series of tests. Everybody. At every moment you're being tested. Do I want Krishna or do I want sense gratification? At every moment, even right now. Yeah. And what's going to happen? I don't want to scare you. But as you progress, the tests become trickier. Because now you know. In other words, how long you been a devotee?
I was in the temple October 12, 2012.
All right, 2 years you've been a devotee. Okay? So you're going to get tested, especially the day of initiation. I have lots of experience with this. The day of initiation will be a big test. You want to tell me? I'll tell you some stories. So most of my preaching is with the Indian community, right? Since 1994. This is rare. I get to speak to an American audience. So I had this Indian person who was one of my students. And so it was time for him to get initiated. So his guru came. The next day was going to be his initiation. So he wanted his guru to stay at his house. Okay, when you invite the guru, you don't just get the guru. You get the entourage, okay? And the entourage sometimes has a tendency to think that they're the guru. And so they start ordering the family members, okay, we need this, I need the phone. Sometimes that happens. So this guy was flipping out because he didn't mind having the guru over, but the entourage was demanding, we need this, we want a meal, we wanted, it became like, so then the big thing was one of Guru Dev's entourage was constantly on the phone making long distance calls to Denver. So that was just took him over the top. So I had done a program elsewhere in the evening. I don't know if he called me or I just wanted to check by him. So I pulled my car and he came out of the house and the car's running and I say, so how you doing? And he goes, Prabhu, I'm thinking I'm not wanting getting initiated. And I'm saying, what? His guru is there. He's going to get initiated the next day. And he's thinking, I'm having my doubts. So I told him, you're being tested. And he told me that everything that I told you is the entourage was like, just they took over the house. And they were demanding, we want prasadam. And the guy was on the phone the whole day racking up the phone bill. So he was like this close to like, no. But I don't know what I said. Who knows what I said? But I calmed him down. He got initiated. Then later he got second initiation. So everything's fine. But it is true. You will. Like I know another devotee in LA. The day before she got initiated, the Ritviks attacked her like anything. And they put all these doubts in her mind. So it happens, you get tested. But once you pass the test, then Krishna gives you like this surge of energy. Wow. But don't worry, the next test is coming. And the next test. She's tested every day. Am I right? Yep. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. How you run that temple, you're going back to Godhead. Your guest room in Goloka Vrindavan is set. All right, you have another question. They get credit for all that service that they did. And the understanding is that there's a couple of things that could be in play. One thing you have to be careful of is this expression, familiarity breeds contempt. And we have to be careful of that even with the deity. Somebody who's doing lots and lots of deity worship can also fall into that trap of becoming too familiar, and you forget, wait a second, this is God. I need to carry myself in a respectful manner and not take things lightly. And the same way with the spiritual master. So that's one explanation. Familiarity breeds contempt. Number two is that there's no doubt about it. In the association of the spiritual master, you're getting lots of extra special potency that can carry you. But like japa, the test is going to come when the spiritual master is not there. Now, what have you actually learned? What have you actually internalized? You follow what I'm saying? In other words, it's easy when Gurudev is there, but when Gurudev's not there, now it's just you. Now, what are you really made of? And we see this all the time in ISKCON. You may not see somebody for months and months and months and months, but when Gurudev comes, all of a sudden, they're always there. Oh, Prabhu, can I do some service now? And can I do this? You know, and then all of a sudden, they want to bring all these people to Gurudev to make them disciples. But when Gurudev's gone, then they go back to being something else. So, test. The test was, how now Prabhupada's gone, now, what have you actually learned? What have you actually willing to surrender to? I could put it on a mundane level, a husband and wife. This happens all the time. Together, they're nice, but when the husband's away on business for an extended period of time, is he still faithful? Or does he get involved with illicit affairs? Happens all, it's happening right now in the material world. So that's, you know, when you're separated, that's when you see who you really are. What are you really made of? That's why I wear this. I wear this because this is my wife and she's watching me right now. Don't do anything stupid. It's a joke.
How was that your wife?
Because we got these in Hawaii. So I wear these to remind me. Like, because I think I mentioned it today. I was telling Urjaswat. My wife is, like many times she'll say, what are you doing? You're supposed to be representing Srila Prabhupada. Can't act like that. You can't dress like that. So this is like something I wear to remind me. Oh, yes, Varuni, if she was here, she'd be on my case. Like Indian women, they wear that Mangala Sutra. So this is my Varuni Sutra. All right, no, she goes first. Yeah.
And I just saw him in Vrindavan and spent a little time with him, but such an amazing person, actually. But I asked him about that you know, you're so close with Prabhupada, and then after Prabhupada left, you know, and he said the strength I got from being with Prabhupada, he just held me up. And he said, when Prabhupada left, he said, I just lost all energy. Of course, like what you said, you know,
Well, especially you, because you're not just dealing with yourself. You're responsible for how many people in that temple. I mean, realistically, you are keeping that temple alive. So you've got, that's what I'm saying, I don't know how you do it. You've got all these people that... It's like your family, and it's all depending on you. So, yeah, I'm sure you're trying to chant japa, but you're thinking all of a sudden, wait, who didn't do this? Well, what? Right? And you're probably thinking about bills and this and that. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But anyway, I was going to ask you a little bit if you could talk a little bit about offenses of devotees, because again, that familiarity, and also in particularly my case, because I manage, and when you manage, you have that gray area, you tend to overstep and not just maybe say something just out of concern.
I can't believe you are, no, that's not possible. You're too good, you're too nice.
Possible that it happens.
So. Nah, anyway, in my personal life, the way Krishna has dealt with me is that every time I tried to be the enjoyer, the controller, for some reason, Krishna always smacked me down. When I was vice president in L.A., I remember Vijay came up to me. He said, Narantara, you're not qualified to be vice president. I was like... But it was true. Because as soon as I got out of, management... And people were telling me that, Narantara, you changed. So it was like when Suvas finally, let me go, then I started to reflect, wow, yeah, they were right. And now much more suitable. I do my preaching. I don't have to deal with any politics. So in my life, it's like against my will, Krishna keeps me humble. It's like, because as soon as I try at any moment, boom, I get smacked up. That's why I have Varuni. if I get out of control, she's on my case. So I'm like protected. Offenses with devotees. I doubt, knowing you in particular, that you do anything out of malice. Perhaps sometimes, because of the time, place, and circumstance, you may not say something the way you would want to have said it. But that's, you know, that's not an offense. An offense is when you are stopping somebody from doing service. When they, you know, sometimes you have to not allow somebody because they're not qualified or whatever. But to me, an offense means you are not appreciating someone's trying to surrender to Krishna, or you're actually trying to stop them. To me, that's right. But, and Prabhupada writes, the worst, that first offense, the worst one is the guru aparad. But in your temple, you got Prabhupada as prominent. So, I don't, and knowing you, I'm not worried about that.
May your words prove to be right.
Well, the fact of the matter is, you're still there. You're doing it. And it's flourishing. And you will get your goal of 40,000. That will happen. And I want you to open a center in Rodeo Drive. Your
restaurant.
Yeah, well, the whole what you have here is perfect. You got the restaurant, you got a whole thing going. It's beautiful. It's, you got the birds and you got, it's great. Of course, you'd have to expand yourself. But I could see you. Rodeo Drive.
Well, I definitely help her with that, but that test would be overwhelming. I mean, you're in the heart of materialism.
Oh, you're smack dab in the, yeah.
That would be insanely intense.
Yes, but when you try to do something for Krishna, he also reciprocates. That's how this movement started. It was all a risk. Everything was a risk. Young devotees your age or younger would go to a city and start a temple.
Country.
Yeah, go to a different country, right. Right. Bhakti Steve here has started preaching in Alaska. I am not going to go to Alaska. I salute you. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, there are other examples like that. I remember, you remember Bauduk? So they're in Harinam. Bauduk's, I don't know how many years it was, you know. And on Harinam, the temple president says, here's the key to the temple, I'm blooping.
Yeah.
And that's how he became temple president. Yes, Mr. Stephen.
Are there any personalities who are allowed or to have familiarity with Krishna? Because, I mean, if it's familiar...
No, yes. But these are the eternal associates. That's not going to apply to us, that we're going to get on that platform. Those positions are already taken. Sorry. Okay, because what is our philosophy? Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So we see, for example, there are incidents where the way the dealings with Radha, Krishna, and the gopis, there are occasions where Krishna is alone with the other gopis, so that there are times, all right? We'll have to wait and see. Let's get to that level. Right now, that's like way, way up there, and I'm like, we got a long ways to go. First, we have to become Krishna conscious. Is that okay? Everybody's good? Everybody's happy? Should we end it here? No? Okay. I'll do whatever Sundamini says. Yes.